إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask His forgiveness. We seek the refuge of Allah from the evil of ourselves, and we seek the refuge of Allah from the evil consequences of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah causes to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the worshipper and the final messenger of Allah. Amma ba'd, fa'inna khair al-hadith kitabullah. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Thereafter, the best of speech, it is the speech of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the most evil of affairs are those matters which have been newly innovated into our religion. For indeed every innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance only leads into the fire. Brothers, and also the sisters who are listening, the topic of the talk today is know your creator, i.e. know Allah Azza wa Jal. If I was to ask a question to all of you here, and I said to you, do you love Allah? Then no doubt every single person here would say, yes, he or she loves Allah. If somebody amongst us was to say, I don't love Allah, or somebody was to have doubt and shuck regarding the love of Allah, then this person isn't a Muslim. So every single person here would say, I love Allah. If I was to ask the question, every person here would say, I love Allah. If I was then to ask a question, do you know Allah? Do you know your Creator? And what can you tell me about your Creator? Or if a non-Muslim approached us on the street and said to us, tell me about, you're a Muslim, tell me about your Islam. Or you say you believe in Allah, tell me about Allah. Then only a few of us would be able to give a good enough reply. And there is a link between loving Allah and knowing Allah. And that is, you only love that person or that thing that or who you know of, you have knowledge of. As an example, there's a particular person that people love and they look up towards. Why? Because they know that this person, he is kind, and they know this person, he is fair and gentle. They know that this person is patient and tolerant, and he doesn't become angry, and he forgives people's mistakes. And because of this knowledge that they have regarding this person, they therefore love this person. All of us are Muslims, and all of us, alhamdulillah, we love Islam. Why do we love Islam? Because we know and we have knowledge regarding Islam that it's the religion of truth, the religion of mercy, the religion of justice, that it agrees with our fitrah, it agrees with our intellect. All of these reasons cause us to love and be proud of our religion, al-Islam. Why? Because of our knowledge of al-Islam. So every time a person knows more about something, he loves that thing more. And every time the knowledge of a person regarding that thing is weakened, then he knows he loves that thing, or he causes his love to be decreased. And this is the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know Allah and you have knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla as your creator, this will cause your love of Allah to increase. And if you're ignorant of Allah, you don't know anything about Allah, who He is, what are His names, what are His actions, what does He do, what are His descriptions and His qualities and characteristics, then this will mean that your love of Allah, it is weakened. However, the subject of this topic, knowing Allah, or knowing your Creator, it isn't something that we can do in one lecture. That we come and we listen to this one lecture and then we think, right now we know Allah. Or even in a series of lectures. It's not possible for us to sit for an hour and talk about Allah for an hour and then we think now we know everything about Allah. Or even for many, many hours. Or we read a book, or we read many books and we think that now we know Allah. Rather, knowing Allah and seeking knowledge about Allah is a mission which is lifelong. I.e. all of your lives and all of my life, we have to spend in seeking knowledge about Allah, knowing Allah, having yaqeen, certainty about Allah Azza wa Jal, and then implementing this knowledge regarding Allah Azza wa Jal in our actions and our morals and characteristics and our worship and our obedience to Him. All of our life has to be spent in knowing Allah, my life and also your life. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He ordered us to have knowledge and seek knowledge regarding Him. Allah said, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. فَعْلَمْ, know, have ilm, have knowledge, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And then seek forgiveness for your sins. What's the first thing that Allah mentioned here is, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا, have knowledge that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. So this is a command from Allah in the Quran, in which He orders every single person to seek knowledge about Him Azza wa Jal. And Allah said in the Quran, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, so that you may know, you may have knowledge that Allah is Qadir, has ability over everything. Again, He ordered us to seek knowledge and to have knowledge and to know about Allah Azza wa Jal. So this knowledge, this aspect of knowing Allah, it's so important that the scholars of Islam, they dedicated a whole subject and wrote many, many books about knowing Allah. And this subject, in Arabic, it's called Al-Aqidah, the belief of a Muslim, or At-Tawheed, the belief and the Tawheed of a Muslim regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. That you have to know, as I mentioned, who is your Lord that you are worshipping? What are the names that Allah has? What are the actions that Allah does? What are the characteristics, descriptions, attributes that Allah has? So you know who is Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we look at different types of knowledge, the thing which is being studied, if that is something which is great, then that knowledge is also great. As an example, the study of medicine. You know that medicine is very, very important. And every person wants their children to study medicine. Why? Because the subject area of medicine is illnesses and bodies and cures. And therefore this is something which is very important. So if the subject area is Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're studying the essence of Allah, then surely this knowledge, this aqidah, is the best form of knowledge. Knowing Allah Azza wa Jal. So there can be no happiness in this life or in the hereafter except through knowing Allah. When we know Allah and we have knowledge of Allah, we seek knowledge of Allah, our aqidah is strong, then this is where the true happiness is. This is when a person will live a true happy life. Allah said in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنًا, whoever does righteous deeds, whether he is male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he is a believer. And this belief in Allah, this iman in Allah, it is based upon us knowing Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Allah said, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Then this person, we will give him the good life. So look, the good, happy life is for those people who do righteous deeds, whether they are males or females, and they have iman in Allah. And it's not possible for a person to have iman in Allah except that he knows Allah Azza wa Jal. And he knows about Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, they think the happiness is being wealthy, happiness is having a large family, happiness is having a good career, And yet true happiness is not in this, in any of it. Rather, true happiness is only when a person knows his creator. When a person knows Allah Azza wa Jal, this is where he will find the happy life. And a poet, he said, وَلَسْتُ أَرَى السَّعَادَةَ جَمْعَ مَالٍ وَلَكِنَّ السَّعِيدُ هُوَ التَّقِيُّ. He said, I don't consider a person having much wealth that he is the one who is happy. وَلَكِنَّ السَّعِيدُ هُوَ التَّقِيُّ. But the happy person, he is the person who is التَّقِي, i.e. the person of التَّقْوَى. Who is the person of التَّقْوَى? The one who has a strong aqeedah and he has knowledge of his Lord Azza wa Jal. So all of the messengers who were sent, Adam alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, the prophets and the messengers came afterwards, all of them were only sent in order for me and you to know Allah Azza wa Jal. All of the books which were revealed, all of the books which Allah revealed to the messengers, they were only revealed in order for us to know Allah Azza wa Jal. This dunya and everything which is in this dunya, it was only created in order for us to know Allah Azza wa Jal. Jannah was created for those people who know Allah Azza wa Jal. Jahannam was created for those people and those who reject and are ignorant of Allah Azza wa Jal. The happiness and the delight and the rewards of the hereafter was created for those people who know Allah. The punishments and the wretchedness of the hereafter was only created, why? For those people who were ignorant about Allah Azza wa Jal and negligent about Allah Azza wa Jal. As-sa'ah, the hour, yawm al-qiyamah, the establishment of the day of resurrection. Why will the day of resurrection come? Why will the hour be established? Why did Allah decree for yawm al-qiyamah to come? To judge between those people who know Allah and those people who don't know Allah. When Allah said in the Quran, al-haqqah, mal-haqqah, wa ma adraka mal-haqqah, the great event. What is the great event? What will make you know about the great event? Why was this great event decreed to happen? To judge between those people who know Allah and those people who are ignorant of Allah. When Allah said in the Quran, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ, when the great occurrence will occur, i.e. the day of judgment. Why will this waqi'ah occur? For Allah to judge between those people who know Allah and those people who don't know Allah. When Allah said in the Quran, وَنَضَعُ مَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that we will place the scales of justice on the day of resurrection. Why will these scales of justice be placed on the day of resurrection? To judge between and to weigh between those who know Allah and those who are ignorant of Allah Azza wa Jal. All of our actions have to be in the pursuit of knowing Allah Azza wa Jal. So the question therefore is, how can a person know Allah? How do we know about our Creator? And there's two ways. Number one, through our knowledge, through our reading and looking and investigating our knowledge, and also through our actions. So firstly, we know Allah through our knowledge. And then we also know Allah, or we increase our knowledge in Allah by through our actions. And these both things, if you look at them, knowledge and actions, when it comes to knowing Allah, when the scholars spoke about Tawheed, and most of you know that Tawheed, they said Tawheed is of three categories, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat is regarding your knowledge of Allah. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is regarding your actions in service to Allah Azza wa Jal. And both of these things, your knowledge and actions, both of them are linked to each other very carefully. So for example, in the Quran we come through the various verses or the various ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls Himself Al-Khaliq. When we read that Allah has called Himself Al-Khaliq, the Creator, we have to have Iman, we have to believe that Allah is the Creator, and He has created everything in the heavens and the earth and everything which is between them. When Allah calls Himself Al-Malik, the Lord or the Owner, then we have to believe and have Iman that Allah is the Lord and owns everything in the heavens and the earth. When Allah calls Himself Al-Raziq, then we believe that Allah is the one who provides and sustains everything in the heavens and the earth. So these are the ayat of Allah in the Quran and also the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, another way of us knowing our Creator is to look around us. And we look at the signs that are around us. So we look at the trees, and we look at the mountains, and we look at the people amongst ourselves, and how everything has been created. And this is a reason for our knowledge of Allah to be increased. A man, he came to Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, and he said to him, "Prove to me the existence of Allah, or who is this? Who is Allah? Prove to me the existence of your Lord Allah." And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he took a leaf, or he took a flower. So a person came to Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, and he said, "Tell me about the existence, or prove to me the existence of your Lord." Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he took hold of a single leaf, or a single flower. He said, "This flower, this leaf," he took this leaf, and he said, "Ta'muha wahid," that this leaf, it has the same taste. "Wa lawnuha wahid," and the color of this leaf is the same. "Wa shakluha wahid," and the shape of this leaf is the same. So we have one leaf, and it has the same shape, it has the same color, and it has the same taste, and it has the same form. "Ta'kuluhu ad-dud, fatakhruju minhu al-ibrisam." When a worm eats this leaf, then silk is produced. There's a type of worm called the silk worm. And the cloth, the fabric silk, is produced by this worm. And this worm, it eats from this leaf, and therefore it produces silk. So this one leaf, the worm eats this leaf, and it produces silk. "Ta'kuluhu al-baqar, fatakhruju minhu al-halib." And when a cow feeds of this same leaf, then milk is produced. "Wata'kuluhu an-nahl, fayakhruju minhu al-asal." And when the bee feeds of the pollen of the same leaf, then honey is produced. "Wata'kuluhu al-dhab'a, fayakhruju minha al-misk." And yet when a deer eats from the same leaf, then the misk, the perfume, is produced. The point is that Imam Shafi'i rahimullah, when he was asked to prove the existence of Allah, he used as an evidence that which is around him, the creation of Allah. A single leaf, the same leaf, with the same color, the same taste, the same shape. Bees eat or feed off it, producing honey. Cows feeding or eating it, producing milk. Worms eating the same leaf with the same color, with the same shape and the same taste, producing silk. And the deer eating from the same leaf and producing perfume. And if a person was to eat from this very leaf, maybe the person would die out of poison. So this is a proof for the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a way in which we can know about our Creator. When the Bedouin man, a simple Bedouin man, illiterate, he could not read, neither could he write. And he was asked about, or he was asked to prove the existence of his Lord. He said, "Subhanallah." He said, "Glory be to Allah." Al-bi'ratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir. The young camel, the child of the camel, it proves the existence of a she-camel, a female camel, or an adult camel. وَالْرَوْثَةُ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْحَمِيرِ. And the dung, it proves the existence of a donkey, because he was a Bedouin and a nomad, and this is what those people know. They know that this particular type of dung is from a donkey. وَآثَارُ الْأَقْدَامِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْمَسِيرِ. And the footprints in the desert, they prove the existence of some people have been walking, or a caravan that has been going, or a traveling party. فَالسَّمَاءُ ذَاتِ الْأَبْرَاجِ. And then he said, the sky which has so many stars. وَالْبَحْرُ ذَاتِ الْأَفْوَاجِ. And the ocean and the sea which has so many waves. أَلَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى صَانِعَ الْعَلِيمَ الْقَدِيرِ. Does this not show the existence and prove the existence of somebody who has created all of these things? And he is Al-Alim and he is Al-Qadir. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, he also ordered the people to look it into and contemplate the creation of Allah and take from this an evidence or signs of the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, in the creation of the skies and the heavens. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. And the changing of the day, of the night and the day. لَآيَاتٍ لِؤُلِ الْأَلْبَابِ. Are signs for the people of intelligence. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا. Those, the people of intelligence, who remember Allah when they are standing. وَقُعُودًا. And when they are sitting. وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. And when they are lying on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they contemplate and think and ponder over the creation of the skies and the heavens. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. And then they say, oh Allah, surely you have not created this out of falsehood. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So save us from the punishment of the hereafter, or the punishment of the fire. The point is that these people whom Allah described, أُلُّ الْأَلْبَابِ, the people of intelligence, the people of intellect, and the people of thinking, they are those who think about the creation of Allah, the signs of Allah, in order to increase in their knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for this reason, you'll know that when you recite the Quran, when you read the meanings of the Quran, how many ayat does Allah, in how many ayat Allah mentions His creation? How many times does Allah mention the mountains and the seas? أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. Do they not look at the camel? Do they not look at the skies, the mountains, the earth? Many, many ayat we see Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning His creation. He says, do they not look at how Allah has made the earth plain for them and the sky as a roof over them? Do they not look and consider how Allah sends down the rain and how then the fruits come out? So all of these things that Allah mentions in the Quran, in order for us to say, take a sign about Allah Azza wa Jal, and for us to increase in our knowledge regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. Also in the Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find many ayat and many ahadith which mention the actions of Allah, the names of Allah, and the characteristics and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. And all of these ayat and all of these hadith came in order for us to increase in our knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever we find a name of Allah in the Quran, or an attribute or characteristics of Allah in the Quran, or an action of Allah in the Quran, this is for us to know and to contemplate over and to increase in our knowledge over. So for example, we find in the Quran, Allah says that He is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. When we as Muslims, when we read the word Al-Hayy, then this has to increase our knowledge and our iman in Allah. Allah is Al-Hayy. What does this mean? That He has Hayatun Kamila. He has the perfect eternal life. And therefore, because His life is more perfect and more eternal than anybody else's life, He is greater and more exalted than anybody else. Allah is Al-Qayyum. The meaning of Al-Qayyum is the one who is not in need of anything or anybody, and everybody else is in need of him. He is the one who is established in himself, and everybody else needs him in order to be established. And therefore this increases in our knowledge of Allah. We know that one of the names of Allah is Al-Ali. And the meaning of Al-Ali is elevated and high. Allah is Al-Ali, He is elevated and high in everything. In His names, He is elevated. His names are the most highest, and the most beautiful, and the most elevated, the most honorable. His attributes are the most elevated and the best and the most perfect. His actions are the highest. And also Allah in His essence, in His that, He is the most highest. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Allah rose over and established Himself upon His Arsh. So this is more knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. That we believe that our Lord Allah, He is above the Arsh, above the seven heavens and the earth. We find in the Quran, Allah mentions His face. Allah says in the Quran, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything will be destroyed except His face. So when we read this ayah in the Quran, that means that we now have more knowledge of Allah. We believe in Allah, a Lord who has a face. And it's in the Quran in many ayat. Allah says in the Quran to Iblis, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What prevented you, O Iblis, from making sujood to that thing which I created with my own two hands? So this is now, by reading this ayah and thinking about this ayah, we believe that Allah has two hands. We don't compare the hands of Allah to the hands of creation. We don't try to change the meaning of this ayah or negate this ayah. But if Allah says in the Quran, and if He has told us that He has two hands, then we believe that Allah has two hands. We believe that Allah speaks, because Allah told us in the Quran that He speaks. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam تَكْلِيمًا. He emphasized His speech. So we believe that Allah, our Creator, your Creator, is a Lord who speaks. We believe that Allah Azza wa Jal, He comes down to the lowest heavens. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari, upon the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَىٰ سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. That our Lord, He comes down, He descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. فَيَقُولُ, and then He says, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأُعْطِيَا. Who will supplicate to me so I can give to him? Or He says, مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَا. Who will ask me so I can give to him? وَمَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. And who will supplicate to me so I can respond to him? وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ مِنِّي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. And who will seek forgiveness from me so I can forgive him? So therefore we believe that our Creator is the Lord who descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. And in this hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is an encouragement and a reminder that all of us are deficient over, except the one whom Allah has mercy over, and I am the one who is most deficient in this, that we should pray Qiyam al-Layl or Tahajjud. That as much as we are able to do so, we wake up in the last third of the night and we pray Nawafil to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then in our witr and in our qunut, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in that part of the night, the third, last third of the night, Allah has come down to the lowest heaven. He is closer to the creation. And He says to the people, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَاسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is supplicating to me so I can answer him, I can respond to him. وَمَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَ. And who will ask for me so I can give him? And who will seek forgiveness from me so I can forgive him? We also believe that our Creator Allah laughs. Dahak, He laughs. How do we know this? Because in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Yadhhaqallahu ila rajulaini yaqtulu ahaduhuma al-akhir fayadkhilani al-jannah. That Allah laughs at two people, two men, one of them kills the other one, and yet both of them, they enter into Jannah. Allah laughs at two men, one of them kills the other one, and yet both of them enter into Jannah. How is this? Because this one, he was a disbeliever. And he killed a Muslim who was fighting him in jihad. And therefore this Muslim, who was killed by this disbeliever, he died as a martyr, and he entered into Jannah. And then this disbeliever, he then accepts Islam. And then he goes and fights jihad, and he is killed as a martyr, and he also enters into Jannah. And our Lord Azza wa Jal, in Sahih Bukhari, as is mentioned in the hadith, he laughs at this situation. That both of these people, although they killed each other, yet both of them eventually enter into Jannah. And for this reason, when a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in another authentic hadith, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Awa yadhaku Rabbuna, does our Lord laugh? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Na'am, yes. Meaning, yes, our Lord laughs. And then the man said, لَن نَعْدِمَ رَبًّا يَضْحَكُ خَيْرًا. We will never disbelieve in a Lord who laughs out of goodness. And don't you want to be amongst those people whom Allah laughs at in this life? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, وَإِذَا ضَحِكَ رَبُّنَا إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَلَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That when Allah laughs at one of his slaves in this life, then this person will have no accountability, no hisab, meaning enters into Jannah straight away, just like the martyr who died as a shaheed. We also believe that our Lord Allah is somebody or someone who becomes very happy. He has the attribute or the characteristics of al-farh, extreme happiness, or very happy. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَاللَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِرَاحِلَتِهِ. That Allah becomes very, very happy. More happier, or he becomes very happy when his slaves make tawbah to him, when his slaves repent to him. More happier than a person who is out in a desert, and he was riding a camel, and all of his provisions are on the camel. And then this person, he ties his camel or leaves his camel, and then he goes to sleep for a while. And then when he wakes up, his camel is gone. He's in the middle of the desert, no food, no water, no person in sight. And the camel which was carrying all of his provisions, this camel has now gone. Imagine how sad and despondent this person would be. And if then he finds his camel again, imagine how happy he would be that his life has now come back to him. Yet Allah is even more happy than this when one of us turns to Him in repentance. We believe that our Lord Allah is someone who becomes very angry, and He has al-ghadab, anger. Why? Because Allah told us in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلُ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Whoever kills another believer on purpose, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ, then his punishment is Jahannam, خَالِدًا فِيهَا, he will remain in it forever. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. And then Allah becomes angry over him, or angry at him, and he curses him. And therefore we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal, one of his characteristics or his attributes is that he becomes angry. We believe that Allah is merciful, because Allah said in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that Allah is merciful towards the believers. So this is us, or this is knowledge about our Lord that we have to know about. We believe that Allah loves, He has muhabba. Allah said in the Quran, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do good, because Allah loves those people who do good. So these are examples of names or certain characteristics and certain actions that we find in the Quran and also in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we have to learn about and know about and seek knowledge regarding. And as a side point, one of the best books that was written regarding the names and the descriptions and the characteristics of Allah and the actions of Allah. And it was a very concise book. It's a book that was written by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And this book is called Al-Aqidat Al-Wasatiyya. Al-Aqidat Al-Wasatiyya. And in this small book, and it's translated into English, and if Allah makes it easy for us, we'll explain this masjid, this book in the masjid one day. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he first mentions how a Muslim has to interact with those ayat and those ahadith which mention the name and the attribute of Allah. Because you know, amongst the Muslims today, there are some people, they say, no, you can't say Allah is above the throne. Rather, He is everywhere. You can't say about Allah that He has two hands. No, you can't say this. Because if you say this, that means you are belittling Allah. Rather, the meaning of the hands of Allah is that He has powers. You can't say this and you can't say this because it would mean and necessitate such and such and such and such. So in this very concise book, translated into English, Al-Aqidatul Wasatiyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions how the Muslims should interact and believe in the names and attributes of Allah in the Quran and the Sunnah. And then he goes through many of the ayat which mention the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this was an example of some of the names and some of the attributes of Allah. This all refers to the first way of us knowing Allah. I said through either knowledge or through actions. And knowledge is through knowing the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah, reading the Quran, reading the Sunnah, and also looking into and contemplating the signs and the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal around us. And then the other way of knowing Allah is through our actions. How can we know Allah through our actions? Because our actions are an implementation of our knowledge. So when we act upon our knowledge, this increases us of our knowledge of Allah, which therefore increases us in our love, fear and hope of Allah Azza wa Jal. The scholars have mentioned that true worship, true ibadah, it is an act of worship which is based on three things. If you base your acts of worship on these three things, then this is how you can truly worship Allah. Al-Raja, wal-Khawf, wal-Muhabba. Hope and fear and love. So remember this in your mind. Whenever you're doing any act of worship, whether it's fasting or giving in charity or praying the prayer, or even when you're dealing with the people, when you're nice to somebody, if you do these actions with these three things, always remember, I have to have hope in the reward of Allah, I have to have fear from the punishment of Allah, and I'm doing this action out of the love of Allah, then this is true worship. And when people don't implement their knowledge and people don't do the righteous actions, this is when their knowledge and their love of Allah, it starts to decrease. Look, Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those people who truly have love, who truly have fear and humility of Allah are the ulama, are the people of knowledge. Who are the people of knowledge? Those people who seek knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. Those people have most knowledge about Allah. The more knowledge of Allah that you have, the more khashya, the more humility, the more fear, and also the more love of Allah Azza wa Jal you have. And for this reason, those people who go to the graves, or they seek help from other than Allah, or they place interceders or intermediaries or shufa'a between them and between Allah, why are these people doing these things? Because of their weakness of iman in Allah. That person was going to the grave. That person who says, no, I can't ask Allah directly. I have to have somebody between me and between Allah. I have to have a wali. I have to have a peer. I have to have a shaykh. Why does he believe this? Because his iman in Allah is low. And this is because his knowledge of Allah is low. If his iman and his knowledge of Allah was high, he wouldn't say these things and he wouldn't do these actions. For this reason, those people who do these acts of shirk, or do these acts of bid'ah, innovations, you don't find them talking about a tawheed. You don't find them warning against a shirk. They'll talk about many other things, but when it comes about talking about a tawheed and warning against a shirk, you won't find this. And if they talk about it, they talk about it based on weak hadith and stories and myths. And this shows that this belief of theirs and this action of theirs is only because of their lack of knowledge regarding Allah and a weakness in al-Iman. If we had true Iman in Allah, if we had true knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, do you think that this oppression that occurs amongst the people, the theft and the fighting and the backbiting and the oppression, all of this which occurs, will this occur if the people had true knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal? If they had true Iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, it wouldn't happen. And therefore, this backbiting that occurs amongst the people and the slandering, the rumors and the stealing and the oppression in all of its forms, all of this is because of a weakness in at-taqwa, a weakness in Iman, and in reality a weakness in al-aqidah, a weakness in knowledge regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. I want to finish by giving an example of how knowing about Allah and reading or knowing the names and attributes and characteristics of Allah, how this should affect our lives, whether it's our worship, obedience, manners and morals. All of us, we've read in the Quran, or we know that one of the names of Allah is Al-Alim, the one who has most knowledge. Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah, He is most knowing over that which you do. So one of the names of Allah is Al-Alim. He has complete knowledge of everything and what you do. Many ayat in the Quran mention Allah is Al-Alim. All the time in the Quran we read this. And also in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This should increase us in our iman regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we know that Allah is Al-Alim, we worship Allah in public when we come to the masjid, but also in private, we worship Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't disobey Allah and commit sins in front of the people, but even in private, because we know that Allah is Al-Alim, we don't commit sins even in private. And this causes us to turn to Allah, to worship Allah, to increase our iman in Allah, in public and also in private, where nobody else can see us, but we know that Allah, He is Al-Alim. He is the one who sees. And for that reason, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned seven groups of people who will be shaded under the shade of Allah, when there's no shade except the shade of Allah, one amongst those seven groups of people, he said, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ فَخَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَهُ, is a man who remembered Allah in private. He was alone in seclusion. Nobody saw him. He remembered Allah, and yet his eyes shed a tear. Why did the eyes of this person shed a tear in private when nobody can see him? Because he knows that Allah is Al-Alim. Allah is the one who knows and he sees. And therefore, as Shaykh Al-Shanqiti rahimullah said, he said, اتَّفَقَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ, that the people of knowledge, they have agreed. أَنَّ أَعْظَمَ الْوَاعِذِ, that the greatest admonishment, وَأَكْبَرَ الزَّاجِرِ, and the greatest thing which prevents a person from doing sins, الْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, is for a person to have iman that Allah is Al-Alim over everything. If you truly know that Allah is Al-Alim, He's one who knows, then this is the greatest encouragement to do righteous deeds in private, and it is the greatest thing which will prevent you from doing any evil action. And if you remember the story of the three people who were in the cave, and the rock, it covered the mouth of the cave, and they weren't able to get out, and all of them, they prayed to Allah, and they mentioned their good deeds. One of these three people, he said that, oh Allah, I used to have a cousin, and I used to love this cousin of mine a lot, and I wanted to do lewd actions with her, and she prevented me from doing so. And then after a while, She became very poor, very needy, extremely hungry. So she came to me in order to ask some help or give her some help or some wealth. And this man, he said to his cousin, he said, I won't help you. I won't give you any money or any food until you commit zina with me. And because she was dying and poor, she accepted. And then the man said, oh Allah, I sat close to her, meaning I was about to commit this action. And as he was about to commit that action, the woman said to him, ittaqillah, fear Allah. وَلَا تَفُضُّ الْخَاتِمِ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. And do not open the seal, meaning do not commit this action, except in the right way, meaning through marriage and doing it properly. Ittaqillah, fear Allah. فَقُمْتُ عَنْهَا وَتَرَكْتُهَا. And then the man said, oh Allah, I stood up away and I left her. So you can see how the statement of this woman who said to the man, ittaqillah, fear Allah, because he is al-alim, he is the one who knows, it caused this person to leave off this evil action. A person might say that how, if this person truly knew Allah and he knew that Allah is al-alim, then why was he committing this action in the first place? And sometimes we find that even a scholar, even a person of goodness, shaitan whispers to him, his desires overcome him, and he might go towards committing a sin. But a person remembers that Allah is al-alim, and then this turns him away from the sin. Even if a person commits this sin, then he knows that Allah is al-rahim, al-ghafoor, al-tawwab, the one who forgives the sins, and therefore he turns to Allah in repentance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as is in Sahih Muslim, he said, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ 100 times. Indeed, I seek forgiveness from my Lord 100 times. 100 times in the day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he seeks forgiveness from Allah. And in Sahih Bukhari, 70 times. Look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because of his knowledge of Allah, this caused him to seek forgiveness from Allah, because he knows that Allah is at-tawwab. Allah is the one who forgives, and a person who, and you can turn to him in repentance. And the companion said to the messenger, Ya Rasulullah, messenger of Allah, you're seeking forgiveness from Allah 100 times in a day, 70 times in a day. وَقَدْ غُفِرَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ وَتَأَخَّرَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ. And yet any sins that you may have ever done, they've already been forgiven. And any sins that even theoretically you could possibly do in the future, they have been forgiven. And yet you're seeking forgiveness of Allah 70 times in a day or 100 times in a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شُكُورًا. Should I not be a slave or a worshipper to Allah who is shukur, he's thankful and shows gratitude to Allah? So to summarize, we have to know that Allah has created us and created everything in this life and in the hereafter in order for us to know Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we know Allah Azza wa Jal and we learn about the Aqeedah and we seek knowledge and attend the lessons of Aqeedah, then this has to show in our actions. In our worship to Allah, it has to show. If we know more about Allah, then we have to worship Allah more. So now when we leave this small circle here, by the permission of Allah, we leave with our iman higher, our knowledge of Allah higher. What does this mean? We go back to doing what we were doing? No. Now our worship of Allah, it increases. And our sinning of Allah, it decreases. Our coming to the masjid, it increases. Our going to the market, it decreases. Because now we have more knowledge regarding Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, when we have knowledge regarding Allah and what Allah loves and wants, then we should try to fulfill those actions. For example, we know that Allah is Al-Kareem. He is kind. And He loves those who are kind. Therefore, we should try to be kind. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ وَيُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ. Indeed, Allah is gentle and He loves gentleness, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Therefore, what does that mean from us? We have to be gentle. We know Allah is Ar-Rahim. We know Allah is merciful. And therefore, we have to show mercy. Also,
through knowing Allah, our love of Allah, and our love of the Messenger of Allah, and our love of the religion of Allah, and our love of the people of Allah, i.e. the Muslims, has to increase. Also, when we know more about Allah, then our yaqeen, our certainty, and our tama'nina, our tranquility, it increases. How many times do we find a rich, wealthy person, and yet he dies the death of sadness and misery and wretchedness? In opposite to this, we find a poor person, he is a Muslim, and because of his iman in Allah, he dies at the death of happiness. What has caused him to be happy even in his poverty? His iman in Allah and his knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, through knowing Allah, it should show us the lowliness of the dunya. That we don't turn towards the dunya, meaning we don't do acts which are haram in this dunya. Rather, we seek to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And you should know that ignorance regarding Allah and being arrogant regarding Allah, this is the asal, this is the first form of disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the greatest cause of a person disbelieving in Allah, committing ashirk, committing innovations, a weakness in aqeedah. And therefore, when your aqeedah is stronger, then your iman is stronger and your Islam is stronger. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us, bestow upon us knowledge which is beneficial and actions which are righteous. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make all of our actions and statements sincere for His sake. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. If there's any questions regarding the topic, then you're welcome to ask questions.
But how can you balance out both fear and hope? They can take fear too far or hope too far.
The brother asks regarding al-khawf wal-mahabba, fear and hope. And how can a Muslim stay in a constant balance between hope and between fear? And this is something which some of the ulama, they have spoken about. So some amongst the ulama, they said that a Muslim should be like a bird. And this bird, it has two wings. The wing of fear and the wing of love. And if one of these wings was to be broken or removed, then the bird would not be able to fly. And therefore a person has to stay upon between fear and between love, or between fear and between hope. Some of the ulama, they mentioned how various sects and groups amongst the Muslims, how they deviated, because some of them went too much towards al-khawf, fear, and some of them went too much towards al-mahabba, towards love or towards hope. They mentioned, for example, the Khawarij, those people who used to consider most of the Muslims to be non-Muslims. If you do a major sin, you're a non-Muslim. They went towards the side of fear too much. And the people of At-Tasawwuf, the Sufiyya, and the people, the Murji'ah, the people of Raja, the people of Irja, they went towards Mahabba. Everything was love. And nothing about the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So going towards either one of these two in an extreme manner and leaving off the other one, this will cause a person to be deviated. So therefore, how does a person remain in the middle? That firstly, in every action that that person is doing, he always remembers that he is doing this action out of the love of Allah and hoping the reward of Allah. And at the same time, once he has finished doing this action, he fears that maybe this action is not being accepted. And because he fears that maybe this action has not been accepted, it causes him to then worship Allah more and more and more. In love of Allah and in hope of his reward, and at the same time in fear of his punishment and maybe it isn't being accepted. And also through reading the ayat in the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every time you find in the Quran how Allah mentions his tawbah and his forgiveness and his mercy, and he orders the people to turn to him when they commit sins, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, then this increases us in our hope and love of Allah azza wa jal. And at the same time, whenever we find in the Quran ayat regarding the severity of the punishment of Allah and Jahannam, then this causes us to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And like this, we remain in a way which is balanced between hope and love and between fear, always in the middle. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.